I'm Susie Ahn, and this is Reset, your guide to news in Chicago and beyond. In the south suburbs of Oaklawn near Beverly and Palos Hills, police conduct at traffic stops is in the spotlight. It started with a bystander video of police tackling and beating a teen who they say resisted arrest after being pulled over. It went viral last week. 17-year-old Hadi Abu Atella, who is Palestinian-American, was hospitalized for 6 days after injuries he sustained. He was released from custody yesterday. We asked the Oaklawn Police Department about this case, but they declined to comment. Here to give us details about the case is Andy Grimm, courts reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, and Emma Melton, staff attorney with the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE, which filed a civil rights lawsuit on Abu Atella's behalf. Andy, fill us in. What do we know about the traffic stop?
Sure. So last Wednesday, police in Oaklawn claimed that they spotted a vehicle and smelled the smell of cannabis coming from the car. According to a young man who was driving the vehicle, Hadi Abu Atella was a passenger along with another teenager. They pulled off into a parking lot where two officers got out, asked them to search the vehicle. The police department released dashboard camera video showing the traffic stop, and it shows Hadi stepping out as with his companions. And as the police officer reaches to sort of pat him down, Hadi takes off running. There's a foot chase that follows for several blocks, and at the intersection of 95th Street and McVickers Avenue in Oaklawn, which is sort of a main retail drag there, mm-hmm. outside of a service station, the officers tackled Hadi, and at that point, they claimed that a bystander started filming mm-hmm. video of the officers taking him into custody, which included the officers striking him repeatedly in the head and in the legs, and eventually tasing mm-hmm. him.
Yeah. And police say that he was reaching for a gun in his bag. Here's a bit of Oaklawn Police Chief Daniel Vittorio talking about that. Let's take a listen.
Once they feared that there was a weapon in there, that then turned into a deadly force incident. So had the offender drawn that weapon, he could have shot him.
Now, Andy, you described a bit of the video. Do we see something like that in the video of the bystander?
You know, I have to admit, in both the video filmed by the bystander and the dashboard camera video that the police provided, it is hard to see sort of what he is doing with his hands. The weapon was reportedly in a shoulder bag or like a fanny pack slung across his shoulder, and they said that he was reaching for it as the officers were on top of him, and that he continued to reach for it until he was given what's called a drive stun with the taser, which is really just incapacitate. It causes like a hard electrical shock that's quite painful.
Yeah, and he spent almost a week in the hospital. Andy, what injuries did he sustain?
His mother says that he sustained fractures to his face and that he had bleeding inside of his skull. That he had also fractured his pelvis. As we saw yesterday outside, as he left the juvenile court building, he was using a walker and seemed to be in a lot of pain. Yeah. He did spend about 6 days in the hospital, and then the family's attorney said that Oaklawn police insisted on taking him into custody as soon as he had been released from the hospital. They took him directly from the hospital with several officers, kept him at the station for several hours, and then transferred him to the Cook County Juvenile Temporary Detention Center, where he spent the night. Mm.
And Emma, you've spoken with Hadi. How is he doing?
You know, he's really shaken up right now. This is obviously going to have some long-term, not only physical, but also emotional damage. You know, he reports suffering from some PTSD-like symptoms, anxiety, difficulty sleeping, in addition to all of the physical incidents or injuries that Andy had already described to you. So we're looking at a long road to recovery, and he's definitely still struggling.
Yeah. What about his family?
You know, his mom reports that this has been so difficult for her. You always see these things happening on the news, and you never think about this really happening to your family and, you know, having to see your son being beaten on a video that's now gone viral, that's everywhere, has really taken its toll on him, his siblings, his parents, and everyone.
Yeah. And Andy, you mentioned after being released from the hospital, how he was transferred to Cook County Juvenile Detention Center. Why was he released?
Yeah, so this is an interesting development in the case. The hearing yesterday was very brief, and there was not, you know, a lot of discussion about the evidence against Hadi or the conditions of his confinement. He was released to the custody of his parents, and prosecutors requested 3 weeks to review whether to move forward with the case. There is an investigation ongoing of the arrest by the Illinois State Police Public Integrity Task Force, which seems to be looking at excessive force. Attorneys for Hadi said that he had spoken to officers from the state police about the arrest. And, you know, it could be also that they are looking at the something unrelated to the use of force, but also like the probable cause. The young man that I spoke to that was driving the car said they didn't find any marijuana on any of the occupants of the car, except for, I guess, a vape device that Hadi had on him. And there was no marijuana in the vehicle. And in fact, they were ticketed only for some minor violations, like a cracked windshield and failure to display the license plate.
And there was a crowd of supporters outside the detention center. Emma, tell us about that.
Yeah, we've seen an incredible amount of community support for Hadi. In Oaklawn specifically, we have a really large Muslim population, and we're hearing from the community that this isn't the first incident that has made them fearful of Oaklawn police. And, you know, a lot of folks are just wanting to build that trust back up between the police and the community. And you can see that by how many folks are coming out to show support for Hadi and his family, and also to call for justice for him. We're still asking that these officers be fired and that charges are pressed against them for their involvement in these in this act. Action.
Now, Oaklawn police declined to comment further until the State Police Public Integrity Task Force wraps up its investigation into use of force. But they have said that the police were justified in their use of force. Emma, what's your response to that?
To us, that's really a scary thing for Oaklawn police to say. Watching that video is incredibly hard, even for me as someone who's done this work and has seen numerous videos like this. You can tell that the officers, who are much larger than Hadi, he's 115 pounds. There's these three large officers on top of him, and he is completely subdued. You don't really see him moving much besides really trying to block some of the blows. And I think the extent of his injuries really shows how brutal this beating was, and to know that this is something that's in line with what Oaklawn police want their officers to do when they're arresting someone is really scary. And we want to make sure that there's changes to training and policies that ensure that something like this does not happen again. We want to remind everyone that the police's job is not to be a judge or a juror, but to be a police officer, to exact arrests and not punishment. So they should have immediately handcuffed him and put him in the car instead of brutally beating him several times until he was incapacitated.
And Andy, at this point, no officers involved have been suspended or any sort of disciplinary measure?
Yeah, as you heard in the police chief's remarks from last week, you know, he said that the fact that to his mind that Hadi was reaching for a weapon, and they did recover a loaded gun from the bag, made it a deadly force incident. And I think this is something that we see across the country in a lot of the excessive force incidents. And when these officers, if they are charged, end up going to trial, they have pretty strong protections if they can say that they felt that they were in fear of their life or the lives and safeties of bystanders or their fellow officers. And so the presence of the gun to the mind of the police chief seemed to be you know, to excuse the use of force. And in fact, he described some of those blows in terms of, you know, that you would hear in a training setting, that they were that like punching him in the leg was a I can't recall what term he used, but again, that there were terms for the what they were doing. And so I think a lot of folks in recent years are confronted by, you know, sort of what the law allows and what police training does allow. And again, this has really galvanized the folks in the South suburbs there. I've run into a lot of folks at these events that, you know, I think watched a lot of the civil rights protests and police brutality protests of the last couple of years. And, you know, what they're telling me is that they never thought that it would happen to them. And we're, you know, unlike a lot of the protests I've been to over the last couple of years, I'd say that a good number of folks in the crowds here are mothers, children, and also they're, there's a large Arab American population in the South suburbs, and they seem to be really appalled and to feel that this is part of a pattern of surveillance bias by police officers.
Emma Kerr, along with Zayed Abdallah, the lead lawyer on this case from Abdallah Law, filed a civil rights lawsuit on behalf of Hadi and his family. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so we filed a lawsuit on Monday alleging excessive force as well as several state law violations. We also have challenged the policy that allowed for these officers to make this type of arrest and to exact this type of beating. You know, based on the chief's response to this incident, we believe that, again, this is a bigger issue and that the real issue here, regardless of whether there was a gun, is, you know, how do they know that there was a gun? And if even if there was a gun, there would be no reason for him to be repeatedly beaten like that. You know, an arrest needed to take place. Handcuffs are a great tool that they have that they can use to subdue an individual and put him in the cop car. And it's not their job to exact that punishment. So all of those claims are alleged in the complaint, as well as a battery claim, as well as intentional infliction of emotional distress, as Hadi is severely impacted by this mentally and emotionally.
And Emma, you mentioned before, CARE has received complaints over the years that police harass the Muslim population in Oaklawn. Tell us more. What have you heard?
We've heard that, you know, there is a lack of trust between police officers in the Arab American community, specifically in Oaklawn. We have received numerous complaints of unfair treatment, not necessarily to this extent as Hadi in terms of physical abuse, but definitely lack of attention, lack of care when it comes to investigating and responding to incidents that are reported by Arab American individuals.
And Andy, remind us of the charges that Hadi faces.
Yeah, it's several charges. The lead charge was for an aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. He was also charged with resisting arrest for possession of the cannabis material. And I think there's another charge in there, but that was the bulk of it. He had about four counts. And it's pretty clear that the Oaklawn Police Department at least really wanted to make a statement there, you know, including escorting him to the courthouse immediately and, you know, pushing for a pretty serious slew of charges.
Emma, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office has asked for more time to review the case. What do you make of that?
So this is, you know, a juvenile matter. So the state's attorney has more time to decide whether they would like to press charges. At this time, you know, we're respecting the state's attorney's decision to further investigate this. And regardless of the outcome, you know, we'll stand by Hadi, and our messaging doesn't change. Our opinion doesn't change of the situation.
And in the meantime, he's been released to the custody of his parents. Emma, what's next for you as you look at this case?
Yeah, so, you know, right now we're still just going to keep putting pressure on the police department, on the state's attorneys. We want these officers to be held accountable. You know, we're going to take the lawsuit as far as it can go, and we look forward to litigating this in court and getting justice for Hadi as he so deserves.
And Andy, what will you be keeping an eye on?
I'm obviously watching the progression of the case through the courts and just what action the state's attorney takes, and also, just sort of keeping an eye on the progress of the civil rights lawsuit. I believe it was one of the organizations that's been helping organize some of these protests had recently issued a report that indicated there were a lot of, discretionary stops and also, investigations of suspicious incident reports, I believe, focusing on the Muslim American community in the South suburbs. And I'm curious to sort of see what they turned up.
That's Andy Grimm, courts reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Also with us, Emma Melton, staff attorney with the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Thank you to you both. That's it for today's Reset podcast. Check back in with us daily for more conversations about the top local news you need to know about. And don't forget to subscribe or leave us a review. I'm Suzy Ahn. Thanks for listening and have a great day. See you tomorrow.